Welcome back to the Homeschool Advantage Podcast. I'm your host, Bex Buzzy. Today's guest is V. Lewis. V. Lewis is an author and a mom to 8 amazing kids. That's right, you heard it, 8, and she looks great. V loves writing with and reading to her children. Her characters are funny and engaging. With over 30 books in her catalog and more to follow, V knows that your little reader is sure to find something that they're gonna love. She hopes all of the kids that read her books know that they can dream big and make it happen. In this episode, we talk about how much work goes into workbook creation, the hours and hours of research needed to make a sheet with only a few questions, which I know sounds crazy, but I know that V is telling the truth. Happens to me too. Also, how she creates workbooks that encourage students to dive deep into the topics that interest them while she helps them learn how to research online effectively. Lastly, how she couldn't find the type of supplemental workbooks that she wanted for her own children, so she used her experience in publishing industry to create what she felt was missing and then listed them online. So go grab your coffee, go grab your tea and a pen and paper, because you're not going to want to miss what V has to say. Let's get into the podcast. Say hello to our guests and tell us, what is a fun fact about your industry that will really surprise our listeners?
I think people are going to be really surprised how much work goes into making workbooks, because you look at the worksheets and they could be like 5 pages long and you think to yourself, oh my gosh, anybody can make these. But when you work on something, you want the children to learn something specific. So it takes hours to come up with those 5 questions because you're picking them. You're not just throwing things on paper.
So I love that.
That surprised me as somebody who was creating them, because I thought, oh, I'll just sit down and I'll throw these things together and it'll be ready to go. And then I started and I was like, okay, this is a much bigger thing than I expected it to be. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I learned so much.
It is. And you know, but I love the fact that you're so intentional to creating that stuff. You're not flippant. Right? Like you went there and you did your due diligence, which is why you realized that 5 questions doesn't just happen. And it takes an expert to make something look simple. It just does. Right?
Right. I'm not a fan of having my kids do like busy work. So if I'm handing them something, I want everything to be very intentional. Mm-hmm. You know, what they're learning is what I'm going for, not we're working for 40 minutes on this subject and we need to fill 40 minutes. That's stupid to me. You don't learn that way.
Right.
I want you to go in and like target specifically what's going to happen. And with the workbooks that I made, I want it to be, if they really love it, well, that could be 3 days worth of work as opposed to 40 minutes of sitting down and researching something, or it could just be as quick as possible. And now they can come and say, I've mastered this skill, or I've learned what you're asking me to learn. So that they have a little bit of knowledge of everything, but they find that passion and then it can just become more and more and more. But you've got to send them to the right places to look for things. And that's where it got weird for me, because it comes down to like putting a question on paper. If I write the question the wrong way, the internet sends children to the strangest places. But if I write the question the right way, then they can find a rabbit hole of information that like they can just keep digging and digging and digging into stuff. But that's why I'm very intentional about cross-checking my work too. So if I put paper questions on the paper, I go back and I will ask it as many different ways as I can think a child would go in to do it, because I don't want them to end up somewhere bad. Because that's no good.
I totally understand what you're talking about, because you know, I've been teaching for a long time too. And I guess as like every rookie, you start off thinking that you can just flippantly throw a question out there because you know what you're thinking. You know
right.
what you're thinking.
You know the answer.
Yeah. So for you, I'll throw that question out and they're going to find what I'm looking for. Like they're going to be able to get into my brain. And then right. I would have kids searching and they're like, I'm like, how did you get here? Like, right. Well, I searched what you, I was like, is that what I said? Like, you know what I mean? And you're like, then you go to someone else and like, "Whoa, how did you get there?" And they're like,
Right.
"Well, I just searched." I'm like, then I go to another computer, and one of the kids are like, "They're playing a video game." It's like, "Isn't this what you wanted us to do?" I'm like, "You know I didn't want you to play a video game, right? Like, you know that. Like, don't play
Right.
with me. You know, like that's not even a joke." But you're right. Wow, you're really just like, you've just opened up the Pandora box, because you're right. When you ask a question, it's not just about a flippant thing. Like, you really are intentional. You want this child to, or adult, or even an adult, right? You want this person to be able to go. You're navigating, you're guiding their education, you're guiding their
Right.
learning. You want to take them somewhere, you want them to see something, and
Right.
it has to be like really good. It's also like how when our students ask us questions, we'll know if they understand the material or not. Asking
Right.
questions does not mean that they don't know, because the way you ask a question lets people know, like, oh wow, you have a higher order of thinking, because
Right.
that's an amazing question. Or when they ask a question, thinking, I gotta go over it again. You know, it's like,
Right. Well, yeah, it comes one of two ways. It's showing that they don't understand what you've shown them and you need to come at it from a different direction. Or it is showing that they want to learn more because they're asking detail-oriented questions to go further. And that's one of the things when I made the internet research project is I don't want to give it to them. So many of the web quests out there give you the website. They go to this website. And that to me doesn't teach kids to work in the real world where we are today, which is you've got this phone in your pocket and like you want to know the actor from whatever movie, right? Like as an adult. So you look it up and then you start going, oh, I didn't know he was in this. And I didn't know he was in this. And I didn't know he was married to this person. And you fall down that information rabbit hole. Well, I wanted to do that with very intentional things. Like it's a science project. I want them, I have in the animal kingdom section. We've got all of the different like classifications and stuff like that, but it's more, I found really weird animals. Like I looked up specifically what's a unique sea creature, right? And I found there's this thing that's a striker that lives on the bottom of the ocean that is like 4 feet of snake monster under the sand that comes up and just swallows fish whole. And I'm like looking at it going, oh my God, if I was a kid and this is the first time it looks like an alien creature, but I purposefully put it on there because I want them to see. We all know the 50 or so that are the random things that you learn. I don't want that. You've already learned those. I want to give you things where you start going, well, what else are there? If there's this sea monster thing and I'm going to watch videos of it going, well, then it brings up six or seven more of like, 'cause normally things will be like the top 10 creepiest things. And then the kid can keep going if that's something that interests them. And they can just really, like, I spent the whole evening talking to my whole family about this sea monster thing that I found. And they're looking at me like I was a lunatic. But in creating it, I'm learning and becoming passionate about it. And if that happens with me, I can't imagine with like a kid with the sponge brain that they have, where like if you hit the right kid with that kind of information, years from now, they may be a marine biologist and credit it to the fact that they fell down an information rabbit hole and were able to look up. You know, creatures that did this and ones that look like it looks like an insect, but it's a fish kind of things. And like, I didn't even know those things existed until I started working on this project. The same thing with like carnivorous plants. I live in New Jersey. So in New Jersey, we have a large amount of carnivorous plants. It's just part of the Pine Barrens. We've got all these weird nutrients that it makes it grow. But I always heard of Venus flytrap, and that's pretty much it. There's a bunch more. But nobody knows about them. So I did like a whole page on those because that is such a cool creature. And when you're a kid, when you find out not just that plants will eat living beings, but why? Like they do it because they had to adapt to the fact that the soil doesn't give them the stuff through the ground like it does normal plants. So they went, oh, I have to eat bugs. How that happens evolution-wise is like crazy, right? But if a kid gets in there and starts seeing it and goes, wait, we have these near me. Because I didn't know that they were all around the world. I thought, what, rainforest and maybe New Jersey, but they're all over the place. But it's that kind of stuff. And like I said, I get excited every single subject that I'm working because I'm a lifelong learner. I'm one of those people. I'm not necessarily a school person, but I'm a learner. I like to learn. I like random weird things. And I like to get really excited about something and learn a whole bunch about it and then go, okay, throw that away. Let's go do something else now. And yeah. Get really into that. So the books that I'm making are perfect for somebody like me, somebody yeah. who just wants to know things and, but needs to some degree, I need some kind of direction of sure. like what to look up. So by having workbooks that are based on the subjects that the child's working on, you can send someone like me out and say, good, go learn something. And you have these questions that you answer, but you can kind of sit there like I do with my son. He'll answer the questions. I'll go, okay, but yeah, tell me what's the coolest thing you saw? Like, what's the thing that you learned? And he'll tell me. And then I go, where did you go to get it? Because I have them cite everything at the bottom because you should cite your source.
Come on.
Yeah. And he'll sit and talk to me about everything that he did and where he found it, because that's the biggest part is, yes, you've got all this information, but like, we need to know it's real information. Like if he said to me, it came from whatever source and I know that's a fake source, I can go, oh, sweetie. No, that's not, you have to learn that. That's a skill. So many people are tricked by, like they talk about misinformation and disinformation all the time. And it's because it exists. We have all this junk out there that we have to weed through to find the good stuff. That's and if you so don't learn cool. to do that early,
yeah,
when are you really going to learn it?
Oh, that's so, you know, it's so cool because, so just to recap, her workbooks are called the Internet Research Project, and they're from their middle school age, and they're for math and science. They're like 100 days of prompts for science, and I think 100 days of prompts for, I mean, 100 days of prompts for math. So it isn't like your normal like worksheet. That's not what this is. This isn't like, you know, you're sitting there and. This is like interactive, and you have to like, well, one of them I'm looking at right now. Also, if you have the unlimited Kindle edition, which I do have because I paid for that.
So. I love it. I do. I read a lot. So it's wonderful if you're yeah. a reader to have it for $10 a month.
Yeah.
Just unlimited. It's like Netflix for
yes, books, for readers. Right? It really is.
It is.
So I actually have her workbook on my phone. So I'm looking at the microscopes right now. That's the first one that comes up. It says a microscope is an instrument that is used to magnify small objects. So she has explained the function of these parts. So literally she has every little piece in here, and you need to specifically look for these pieces, explain them in the box. And then at the bottom, like she said, cite your resources. And that is really interesting because once you learn about an eyepiece, who knows where that could lead you? And like, right. oh,
you start to realize, okay, well, mirrors can do this. What else can mirrors do? It depends on the kind of student that you have. Some kids are just going to answer the questions, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with sitting down and just taking 100 days of very different things and learning a little bit about everything. And like I said, the biggest part of these books is to be able to learn how to use the internet efficiently and correctly, because that's a huge skill. But if you have the kind of kid who's going to look at it and go, well, wait a second. So if it can do this, and then they just type in, what else can mirrors do? Like, what else can lenses do? What kind of lenses are there? And like, you can keep going. I mean, even if you sit with them and kind of start that the first couple of times that they use it to kind of push that this is how this book is used, it really, like I see with my son, it just, like I let him take off. And there are days where he just comes back and he's like, yeah, just whatever. But there's other days where he's really excited about what he learned. And that was the thing with like the math book. There's no math problems. Every math workbook I found is math problems. It's math skills, which is something that's important. But there are a ton of kids that's never going to be the thing they're good at. And it's never going to be the thing that they feel comfortable in or excited about. My math book has history of mathematics. It's got mathematic tools. There's a bunch of old tools that I didn't know existed until I started diving down into the research. Like, how did they measure things before we had computers? And it wasn't just, oh, well, some guy's going to sit next to you with a tablet and fill things out. No, they came up with things that are amazing. Like on ships, you would have chains to be able to count things. And because you can't remember, once you get above a certain number, it's not like, oh, well, you can just mental math everything, especially if you're a busy person living in the real world and doing other tasks. And the idea of why did the mathematicians want to solve certain questions in the first place? But none of that involves you sitting and using a calculator. None of that involves you having to figure out, you know, formulas and whatnot. Huge math discoveries. Because the thing with math, I loved math as a kid. But I remember, like my brother specifically, but there was other kids that I knew that hated it because it just wasn't their thing. And it becomes, it's almost like it's an enemy when you hate a school subject because you hear about it and you just go, oh my God, I just don't, not one more second because I'm not good at it and it makes me feel bad.
Mm.
Finding out why having math is so important. Like we wouldn't have computers without math.
Right.
You don't have to do a math problem to learn that, but you can learn that math can be really good as opposed to this big dragon you have to slay.
Right now, good.
I'm working on the language arts workbook because by the end, I want to have, so I have science and math out now. English should be out soon. Then geography, U.S. history, and world history. So I'm going to have all of those. And then once I get done with that, until I start getting feedback from people outside my own home, I'm just going to keep creating things that I know work for my son and then put them out for the world and see if people, I do freebies pretty much every holiday because it's a good way to advertise, but it's also a good way to get people accustomed to what kind of worksheet it is. Sure. So I probably will have one that is like holidays and like seasons and things like that. Do one that's more, you'll use it through the year, but it'll be specific time. Because the other ones, you can kind of just flip to page 50, work on it. Or you could start on page one and work all the way through. But if I do a holiday one, it'd be nice because you'd be able to do them based on what time of year it is. But I like it because it's something I can give to him, especially as a homeschooler. There's times I homeschool. I have three that I'm homeschooling. There's times where we can't all be working at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's older and can be independent, I can hand it to him. And I know I've got 20 minutes to a half an hour of him doing something. And I can work with the little guys without having to worry, is he still learning right now?
Yeah. I'm like looking at your mathematic ones too. It's like really cool. So I'm just going to just share one of them with the listeners. She starts off with a famous mathematician's Euclid, the father of geometry. So it's simple, but profound. Like really, it really is. It's like two sentences to get you started. Born about 300 BC in Alexandria, Egypt, his books, The Elements, have been used by mathematics students for over 2,000 years. Now, that's just enough to be like whetting someone's appetite to be like, I want to know more about that. And then she asked, name four Euclidean axioms. I'm like, oh my gosh, that'd be fantastic. Like, yeah. So now, let's say the kid doesn't go a little deeper, but now they have like these axioms that they can actually verbalize to maybe somebody else, and like, you know, they'll be like, wow, that's really interesting. Where'd you learn that? Well, that's about Euclid. He's the father of geometry, you know? And it's like, it's not like this heavy, but it is deep and it's very profound information. So it is very intentional to teach. Like, I just learned something right now. Like, I can tell you that Euclid was born around 300 BC. And you know what I mean? And he's the father of geometry. I didn't know that before until right now.
And doing as with the flexibility of homeschooling, right? So if you are the kind of parent who doesn't, like, I don't have a specific curriculum for my kids. I know there's a lot of people that use curriculum sets. I piece together things that I want during the day. If my son and I were doing that page, there's a good chance that I would sit down and go, let's go on YouTube. Let's pull up a video about him. Let's watch 20 minutes on him. Let's see who he is. Why do people care about him? It gives you as the parent a jumping off point too of, well, this is what we're going to learn for today. So you could be as big on these things as you want to be as well. Like, don't just limit the children to being the ones that have to dive deep. It gives you a jumping on point for the day. Because I, like I said, I love learning. So if I'm sitting with him, most of this stuff was new to me as I was researching. I didn't learn anything about him. Every math class I was ever in was math problems all day, every day. We did very little talking about the history of mathematics, how we got to where we are, why somebody who was born that many years ago, the fact that we're still using his stuff is insane if you think about it. Like, what did he know back then with the limited resources that he had to the point where, and we're not using it at like elementary school level, middle school, high school level only. It's still getting used in colleges. He's the guy when you look at it, you go, oh my gosh, like this person, and I never heard of him before. Like, I never. So it's I went through.
I don't know
when
how
I
you even
made
thought
them.
of these. Like, I'm looking at them, I'm like, how the heck did she even like
Well,
think of
okay.
all of these?
So the way that I go into these is I take a subject and then I break the subject into 10 categories. And then I break those 10 categories into 10 worksheets per category. So with the famous mathematicians, what I would do is I was like, okay, well, I know I want to teach them about famous mathematicians. They don't really know. I mean, I know Pythagoras. I mean, everybody knows him. He's a triangle guy, which the triangle guy was a weirdo. I didn't know that. Like an absolute, he had a cult.
I
He
know.
had a triangle cult. How did I not know? Why was that not something? You want me to be excited as a middle schooler, high schooler about math? When you set me down and you go, we're going to learn about the triangles and blah, blah, blah. And the guy had a cult. And I'd have been like, wait, nope, I'm listening. You've got my ears are turned on. Tell me everything you can about this lunatic. He was afraid of beans. Beans, because they look like flesh. But I learned all of this because I sat making the workbook pages. These are all the weird things I learned about doing that. And like, I see how excited I get.
Yeah.
I'm an adult. I want the kids to feel like that.
Oh,
I want
my
them to
gosh.
Open these books, and learning is fun. Learning
Yes.
is not boring. You're
Yes.
putting, when you run and you play games, you get excited. You get that adrenaline, right?
Totally.
I feel the same way when I learn. I feel like whatever muscles are working in my brain gives me that same high of like just into this. And I know this weird thing now. Like my husband will be watching random things with the girls on, and a question will come up with the trivia and stuff. And I'll walk in the room and I'll be like, oh, that's the Bronte sisters. And he'll just stare at me. And I'm like, no, I know so many weird things now. Like, would you like to hear about them? Because I can spout off a lot of information.
So
he's like,
funny.
No, I'm good, honey. I worked all day. I don't need like don't need
that's
a history
so
lesson.
funny.
But it should be exciting. It shouldn't be something that they sit down and it's another drain on the day. Because you have to compete with everything with these kids now. You got to compete with social media. You got to compete with entertainment. You got to, and now entertainment is in what, 30-second snippets? So their brain is like, if you can't get them to want to know these things, they're not going to.
Wow.
So, and the books, I made them for middle school.
Yeah.
And I think I may try to make harder ones for high school later.
Yeah.
But they're not limited just to those grades because they are so open-ended. And I don't talk down to children.
Yeah.
Like the thing, like what you saw with the Euclid thing, you don't talk down to them. I also don't do the thing where, even if it's not your thing, you'll still be able to answer the questions. Because if you look up specifically what I wrote, the answer's there.
Yeah.
I was very intentional with that too, that the child could basically type in the exact question.
Yeah.
And the answer pops up. That doesn't mean that's what they should learn to do, but I wanted to make it so that if they're struggling, they're not going to go, oh my God, I can't find this answer.
Right.
So I
that's
went back
so
through.
Cool.
And made sure that as long as you, so that the parents know, there's no answer key for these. The answer key is the pages. You just type into Google
so good.
The question, you'll be fine.
So
but
good.
I love every bit of this. And it's fun for me because if work had kind of gotten to that point where it was stale, I write books. I write adult fiction and I do picture books for kids. And at some point it starts to be, it's like the same old, same old. And then I started this project and I'm like, I love every minute of this. Even the part where I was like ready to rip my hair out trying to make the math book, because who in the world makes a math book with no math problems?
Like You did it.
But oh my God, it was painful and fun at the same time, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. What I love about this is you've not only built in like fun projects to do, and you know, and it could be just the doing the work that day, but I feel like you've also built potential experiences between families. Like you literally, this is like a Sherlock Holmes kind of thing where moms and kids and dads, you know, and their kids can be like, oh, let's go look it up. And then, you know, they can literally, this is, you haven't done all the work for them, but you've literally set up such like funness in it where it can just like springboard into other things. I love this book. Like I'm looking at it and I know you said you wrote it for middle schoolers, but I learned, and middle school has been a very, 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 very long time ago.
Me too.
So, I just think this is an educational book, so I'm not going to label it.
I put it on there because I feel like we need some kind of guidelines of what we're looking for. And absolutely. I tried to make the material based on what are the standards that they should be working on within those age groups. But yeah. I have one that should be in first grade, and she's doing like third grade level stuff because that's sure. where she's at. And that is the joy of homeschooling, is that we're given guides, but we do what works for us and our family and our children. And we don't limit ourselves, because that is one of the things. I have older children that went through the public school system, and it's not horrific like everybody thinks it is, but there are some limitations when you have to teach that many kids, because you have to work within, there's a box and you're in that box. Homeschooling, you don't have the box. It's fantastic. Yeah. You just do. Yeah. And like you said, being able to do experiences, it's the thing like the carnivorous plants. If you're in one of the areas where they exist, we can go find them. My kids and I can go hiking out in the Jersey trails, and we can find the different ones that exist around here.
I knew
that
you were from Jersey.
That becomes a thing that you do.
I'm from Jersey. No, I'm from Brooklyn. My husband's from Jersey. So we have family in both. So as you're talking, I'm like, she's definitely from East Coast. I'm wondering, is she from Jersey, or is she from... Like, is she from a little bit northern? Is she from Maryland? Like, where? Like, I'm trying to like figure it out. I'm like, where's her accent from?
I have the attitude too. We tend to be very big.
What part of Jersey are you in?
We're on the Jersey Shore. We're down near Atlantic City.
We talked about this. Yeah, my husband grew up over in Lavalette in New Jersey. I love the Jersey Shore. We go there every year. Like,
it's fantastic.
I can't wait. Like, that's my happy place. The Jersey Shore, my happy place. Like, I keep telling my husband, I'm like, if we're ever going to move anywhere, we got to go to the Jersey Shore. I will live there because I think people have it all mixed up because of the Jersey Shore, dun, 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 that TV show.
Yeah, that's not even slightly what it is.
No, it's like literally the Jersey Shore is like you go back in time where it's like, really a lot of fun. You almost feel like you're back in the 60s in a sense, because of the boardwalk and the games and like the beach and people, everyone, even though it's a big metropolitan city like New Jersey, like a state, people in the shore, we kind of all know each other.
And yes, it's so quiet down here. It gets so weird in the summertime because we're just not used to, like, I spend so many months where there's nobody here.
Yeah.
And then the first, when Memorial Day comes, I always forget, and I'll go to the store and I'm wandering through, I'm like, where are these people? And then I go, oh, okay.
We're in
And then you go, okay, no, you only go out during the weekdays now. Don't go out on the weekend. And I won't go to the beach unless it's September or like May.
Yeah.
Because I'm way too pale to beach anyway.
You're too funny.
For doing homeschooling in an area like this, like, people don't understand what New Jersey is actually like, especially if you go to South Jersey. We have so many different areas. Like, I can be at the beach with them one day and then in a Pine Barrens the next day.
Totally.
And then you can go up north and you're in the mountains.
Totally.
And, like, there's just so many different areas and within like quick driving distance. And there's so much that kids can learn. And we have tons of historical sites because the revolution was fought here.
Yes.
We have
East Coast. Everything. Amazing. Like the East Coast. I mean, I live on the West Coast. I like the weather and it's great. But East Coast, when you're talking about like education, you're talking about things to do, you're talking about like, the only reason we actually moved, because it's the weather. Really, it was the weather. I'm not going to lie. It got a little much on our bodies and everything, especially during Sandy. And we were like, it was just rough during 2012 to 2013, that whole year of Sandy. But, you know, with that, honestly, if it wasn't for the weather, I don't think I would have left the East Coast because, I mean, like you said, we used to live in Sussex County. So we used to go to the Appalachian Trail. We would be, you know, part of all that. I mean, the forest, I mean, like Stoke State Forest. I mean, you have, talk about wildlife. I mean, it's just beautiful. Yep. And we even have, there's even like a live volcano up there that did erupt. You know what I mean?
I didn't know about that. And I'm going to research that later, because that is something that would be cool for me and the kids to go see. Well, we're even called the Garden State. People think of us as this like paved over mall, basically.
Because of Jersey City.
when you drive through the South part, it's just nothing but flat farms and like fresh produce. And then, like I said, you have the Pine Barrens, but then we have this really weird forest that's like, it's a dwarf forest that when you're driving, suddenly you're like, why is everything so small? But it's only in New Jersey. It's this very specific to us thing. Like this state is so, we have so many people crammed into a small space, but we also have so much variety of environment in a small space and so much variety of animals. And like, it's just such a wonderful, great place to grow. And
it is.
And especially with, like you said, with education, because there's so many opportunities. Like near us, there's Batstow Park. It's a state park where you go and they've got the village still there from the, and the kids can walk through the homes from the 1800s and feel the wood and the way the doors opened and take a look at the, like they explaining to them chamber pots and things like that. But like, it's all sitting there and you can see it and you can smell how things were. And if you go at different times of year, you can feel how they didn't have air conditioning or heat.
Right.
They had like the wood stoves and stuff and you could feel the draftiness and you can, there's just so much there that
it's so
they're
rich.
Sitting in a classroom, you learn one way, but like physically touching and seeing and smelling, it's wonderful.
It is awesome. Man, I could talk to you forever, probably because you're my Jersey sister. I could feel it. But as we're wrapping up, where can they go? I know I just mentioned they can go to Kindle Unlimited to get your book and start like working on it right now. but is there somewhere else that they can go? Is there like a website that they can find you at as well?
So I have my own website. I have vlewis.com, and that is where you'll find all of my stuff from my picture books. Cause I don't just have the middle school project. I have pre-K and kindergarten workbooks that are available too. And that'll bring you the links of it. But the best part about the website is I have freebies of everything because I want you to try it before you buy it. I want to, cause I'm a homeschool mom myself. I have made so many mistake purchases of buying workbooks that we did three pages and I went, I'm never touching this again. This is not for us. And then I open it up to my homeschool group and I go, somebody's got to take this because I'm not wasting money. So I would rather you be able to download a bunch of them and go, yes, this is our learning style. This is what we want to learn. I did bring copies so you could see how I want them to see. If you see this symbol, that's me.
Yeah.
So
it looks like a stamp.
Right. But also on Amazon. And the nice part about Amazon is for the most part, you can return certain things in a time period of if it's not for you. I put it on Kindle Unlimited because I'm very thrifty. And like I said, I already pay the $10 and there's so much on there. But I also, if they're already on the computer, because they're going to be doing the research on the computer, they can have it open in one window and doing the research and they can handwrite just on regular pieces of paper.
So good. So
I did not want it to be limited. Also, if you have it on Kindle Unlimited, like you had it open on your phone, you can screenshot it. And then if you do go do hands-on stuff with it, you've still as a parent got a couple of guides of questions you can ask.
So
especially
good.
When I start doing the ones that are like US history and geography and things, those will be ones that I'm going to try to have stuff where if it's close to you, you may actually want to go instead of looking it up online, go to the place and see if you can answer the questions just by being there.
That's awesome. As we're wrapping this up, what is one big takeaway you want to leave with families today?
I want people to know how much I care about lifelong learning, not just for me and my kids, but for the world. Like that's where my passion lies. I want people to feel like learning is exciting and fun. It's not a chore. I learn in my free time because that's what I like to do. And the more people that we get to do that, the better this world is going to be. We should want to fill our brains up just as much as we want to put nutrients in our mouth and exercise in our body. We should want to learn because it's fun. Learning is fun.
Awesome. I love it. So guys, just go on, you can go on Amazon, you can go on vlewis.com and get her stuff there. This, I'm telling you, these workbooks are not like any other workbook you've ever done. This is like a living workbook. You're going to enjoy it and go start making memories with your family. Thanks so much for coming on, V.
Thanks for having me.
If you love the conversations we're having here on the Homeschool Advantage podcast,
follow or subscribe our podcast to stay in the loop and never miss this amazing content. And please highly consider taking a minute to leave a positive rating and review to help others like you discover this show. See you next time.